Today is the last day of the International Arctic Conference at UNBC. One topic going around the table was the relationship between people and dogs in the North. Clint Westman was the chair of the roundtable. He's an anthropologist from the University of Saskatchewan, and he joins us in our Prince George studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so why are you interested in the relationship between humans and dogs and other animals in the North?
Well, I'm an anthropologist studying Cree and Métis people in northern Alberta, and obviously they have hunting and trapping traditions that involve the use of pack dogs in earlier times and then sled dogs in the 19th and 20th centuries for people to move around the area. And this connects with a larger network and project I'm involved in called Arctic Domus, which looks at relations between people and animals generally in the North and looks at how people relate to both wild animals and domestic animals. So one of the things we see is that dogs are a key animal across the North, being used, like I said, for sled dogs, packing animals at different periods of time, and also human companionship. And so we've looked at not only the relationship between humans and dogs, but how dogs, in terms of working dogs, allow people to access other resources on the land, like hunting, trapping, going to fish camps, using fish to feed the dogs, you know, this kind of thing. So it's all a network that puts people on the land and connects them with their culture. Obviously, a lot of this is historical. So now often when people in the North relate to dogs, they're doing so in terms of racing dogs, sled dogs, the kind of things we would maybe see in the Iditarod or Yukon Quest or one of these big races.
Yeah. How far back does this relationship go between humans and dogs in the North?
Well, one of the people in our roundtable was an archaeologist, Robert Losey from the University of Alberta, who's also involved in this Arctic Domus international project. And Rob has suggested that it appears that dogs may have been domesticated 9 to 12,000 years ago, you know, pretty much certainly throughout people's time in the Americas, largely the whole duration of that time. And now, we just don't know how this domestication occurred. For instance, were people becoming habituated to wolves and eventually started breeding wolves? To what extent does crossbreeding with wolves continue to play into Arctic and northern dog strategies throughout the historical period? And we really don't know a lot of these questions. Genetic and skeletal research can provide some answers. I'm a cultural anthropologist working in contemporary periods, but there's a tremendous amount of scientific and genetic research on these questions, not only with dogs, but in Siberia and Scandinavia, reindeer. When did people decide to domesticate reindeer, which, as you know, didn't really happen in North America?
Yeah. All over the world, people have close relationships and dependent relationships with their pets and with livestock. Is there anything different about or unique about the northern experience?
Well, if I can just answer that more broadly, in terms of animals besides dogs, we often look at the domestication of animals as one of the key kind of events in human history. You know, typically, again, over the last 10,000 years, people begin to domesticate herd animals for agriculture and such. And dogs are one of these. But what we see is that not only do people domesticate animals and obviously use wild animals for their purposes too, but that you see domestic animals and wild animals kind of feeding back into human culture and social organization, so that people have intense relationships with animals, and it's not really a one-way relationship, that we find the needs of the animals can change what people are doing. And I think I mentioned that, for instance, when people began to work with dogs in northern Alberta as sled dogs, we think that they changed their activity patterns somewhat to emphasize fish more, to provide big they had to feed the dogs fish, among other things. And so this required people to slightly change their activities. They were probably fishing a lot anyway, but stockpiling fish for the sled dogs to move around the landscape became a bigger focus. And this is something you see across the North. So the relationships are really complex and multifaceted, but they also involve dependence and care and love too, I think, you know. So
is that relationship changing as dependence on dogs for transport lessens? There's getting to be more roads, more bridges, snowmobiles came into play.
Mm-hmm.
How has that affected things?
Well, what I saw in my field community in northern Alberta, about 500 kilometers north of Edmonton, is that people were living very intensively on the land into the 1960s and began settling in permanent communities in the 50s and 60s. It's only really in the 1970s and even early 80s that people begin to move from dogs to snowmobiles for transportation in this area. And there's a variety of factors in that, you know, people getting involved in the cash economy. and so forth. But sure, it's changing. One thing you see now is small pet dogs in northern communities, you know, special breeds, which we didn't used to see. And also, as I mentioned, this emphasis in some parts of the North on dog racing, which captures some aspects of the tradition, but also, obviously, an international competitive sport that that all of us like to watch and be interested in.
Oh, I have a family member from Alaska who is visiting, and I'd never seen somebody follow the dog racing so closely. It was like the NHL playoffs.
Well, what was interesting in our roundtable discussion is that we had our panelists talking, but some of the audience members, who are also scholars from around the North, more than one of them has a personal interest in dog racing, and one of the people in our panel, Lisa Strecker, a student at University of Alaska Fairbanks, had spent 2 years in Kamchatka racing dogs with the local people there and got really into it. She was very interested not only in the dogs but the different types of sleds, competition sleds versus traditional sleds, what are the native Kamchatkan people doing versus what are the Russian mushers doing. Very interesting modifications and new trends in people's relationships with dogs.
What can we take away from this? What's the importance of understanding these relationships for people in Prince George and beyond?
Well, you know, here in northern BC, of course, with the First Nations and Métis history being a big part of it, just to have a sense that dog sled era in many areas didn't end until fairly recently, but also maybe to take a step back and look at our relationships with dogs and other animals and see not only how we've worked with the dogs, but how the dogs kind of have wormed their way into our hearts and changed some of the ways that we can construct our lives and go about things. And I think also looking at the North, we've begun to see that the people in the North do in fact domesticate dogs. You know, we thought that all this arose sort of in southern regions, for instance, the ancient Near East where agriculture began. But across the North, we do see people not only domesticating animals like dogs and reindeer, but also relating to wild animals in ways that show their knowledge and the connections they have in terms of the ability to predict and maybe even influence movements of animals. And it's something a lot of us are really interested in, looking at human-animal relations and people's relationship with nature in a general sense.
Clint, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That is Clint Westman. He is an anthropologist from the University of Saskatchewan. He was taking part in the University of British Columbia's International Conference on the Arctic. Today is the last day of the International Congress on Arctic Social Sciences. And what do you think about what you've heard? Maybe tell us about your relationship with your dog. Email daybreaknorth@cbc.ca.